You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today I shall talk about a little book that is the Bible in miniature. It is an answer to the question that children ask their parents about the faith: what does this mean?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, Father and Creator, Redeemer and Savior, life-giving Spirit, help us to understand your word and what it means. Send us the good news of your salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ, and give us faith and love by the power of your Spirit to live forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 457 years ago, on May 16, a little book was published which has influenced greatly the lives of many people. It is the Small Catechism of Martin Luther, written for people in parishes to which he turned his attention when the debacle of the Peasants' War had made it clear to him that politicians among both princes and people were more interested in promoting their own positions than they were in proclaiming the truth of God. After visits to parishes in 1528, amid all the unsettled conditions of the time, he wrote, "Good God, what wretchedness I beheld! The common people, especially those who live in the country, have no knowledge whatever of Christian teaching, and unfortunately many pastors are quite incompetent and unfitted for teaching. Although the people are supposed to be Christian, are baptized, and receive the Holy Sacrament, they do not know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, or the Ten Commandments. They live as if they were pigs and irrational beasts. And now that the gospel has been restored, they have mastered the fine art of abusing liberty. I beg of you, for God's sake, my beloved brethren who are pastors and preachers," wrote Luther in the preface to his Small Catechism, "if you take the duties of your office seriously, that you have pity on the people who are entrusted to your care, that you help me teach the catechism to the people, especially those who are young. Teach them," he added, "what it means. Our office is a ministry of grace and salvation." The Catechism was never intended by Luther, as it sometimes became during the last 400 years or more, a substitute for the Bible. Martin Luther was a student of the Bible. For him, the Bible was everything because it brings to people the good news of God, as he has disclosed himself to the world in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Martin Luther's Catechism is best understood if it is looked upon as the Bible in miniature, the Bible talking to people in language they can understand, whether they are young or old. An authority on Luther's catechism has said it came into existence in connection with more than 1,000 years of teaching and training in the church. It grew from the struggle of the reformers to establish the church according to the basic principles of the gospel. It was the ripe fruit of Luther's catechetical experience, in which he had schooled and exercised himself for over a decade by 1529. The word catechism comes from a good New Testament word for instruction. The sentence appearing most frequently in Martin Luther's Small Catechism is, "What does this mean?" It is like the instruction of God himself to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. And when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he slew the Egyptians but spared our houses." That's an exciting story. So is the news that God cared enough about people to give them his law and loved them enough to give them the good news of his grace and forgiveness in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the book of Exodus, it is quite apparent that God expects his people, all of them, to teach their children the facts of the faith. He wants them not just to know about him, but to believe in him, to trust him, to have confidence in him, to love him, and to go his way. Martin Luther prefaced his morning and evening prayers in his small catechism with the remark how the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening. Many parents probably do not feel qualified to instruct their children in the faith, and they leave the job for the professional theologian. Luther wrote his catechism to help parents, personally and professionally, to teach children the law of God and the gospel of God, repeating with each new section his little comment, as the head of the family should teach it in a simple way to his household. If one of your children, or anybody for that matter, should ask you, "What does the Word of God mean?" what would you answer? You would probably say that God made us, and he has every right to expect that we shall live in obedience to him. He does not hold still for disobedience, because he is God. He has every right to punish willful and even ignorant disobedience of people. He does it all the time. In his love, God sent his Son Jesus to take the guilt of our sins into his own heart, and even to take the punishment for our sins into his own body. For the sake of Jesus, God forgives our sins so that we can live again as his children. That's what Martin Luther did in his catechism, answering the question, "What does this mean?" The first chief part of Martin Luther's catechism was the Ten Commandments, as it was in many of the catechisms that preceded him. The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." "What does this mean?" asked Martin Luther. He answered, "We are to fear, love, and trust God above everything else." The second commandment is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not use his name superstitiously, or use it to curse, swear, lie, or deceive, but call on him in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving." The third commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not neglect his word and the preaching of it, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it." The fourth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and others in authority, but respect, obey, love, and serve them." The fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." "What does this mean?" Again, "We are to fear and love God so that we do not hurt our neighbor in any way, but help him in all his physical needs." The sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that in matters of sex, our words and conduct are pure and honorable, and husband and wife love and respect each other." The seventh commandment, "You shall not steal." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or property, or get them in a dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his property and means of making a living." The eighth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not betray, slander, or lie about our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain his actions in the kindest way." The ninth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God so that we do not desire to get our neighbor's possessions by scheming or by pretending to have a right to them, but always help him keep what is his." The tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his cattle or anything that is your neighbor's." "What does this mean?" "We are to fear and love God that we do not tempt or coax away from our neighbor his wife or his workers, but encourage them to remain loyal. The second chief part of Luther's catechism is the heart of his whole teaching. It's about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Using the Apostles' Creed in explaining about God, Martin Luther began with the first article of that creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? Luther said it means, I believe. Personal faith meant a great deal to Martin Luther. It means a great deal to everyone who has come to know God as Martin Luther came to know him, in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to know God and to believe. What does it mean to believe in God the Father? I believe, said Martin Luther, that God has created me and all that exists. He has given me and still preserves my body and soul with all their powers. He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God also protects me in time of danger and guards me from every evil. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. That's good news about God. A lot of people in our world wish they could believe it. They can know it is true because God sent his Son into the world as the ultimate proof of his fatherly and divine goodness and mercy. The second article of the creed talks about Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. What does this mean? Luther answered with one of the most marvelous declarations of faith in the history of Christendom. I believe, he said, that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he has risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally, this is most certainly true. The third article of the creed talks about the Holy Spirit of God. It says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? Asked Luther again. He replied with a marvelous insight into the whole process by which people come to faith in Christ. I believe, he said, that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Following this, there comes a little section on the Lord's Prayer, with which Martin Luther intended to conclude the catechism, but finally added little sections on holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. I wish I had the time on this broadcast to read all of it to you. If you want to read the rest of it, you can write in and get a copy free of charge, and you can read it for yourself. Baptism, he says, is not water only, but is water used together with God's word and by his command. What does baptism mean for our daily living? It means that our sinful self, with all its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned through daily repentance, and day after day a new self should arise, to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. This is just what St. Paul writes in Romans 6, said Luther. We are buried by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What benefits are received from the Lord's Supper? the ones pointed out by the words given and shed for you for the remission of sins. These words assure us that in the sacrament we receive forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. That's Luther. Confession and absolution are treated in the same way, as a gift from God, a part of the gospel, his good news to men in Jesus Christ. It's good, practical, and true. Christ died for our sins. God loves us. God forgives us. And we can live from day to day with faith in him. You can see the gospel of God in every line of Martin Luther's explanation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean? Here God encourages us, Luther said, to believe that he is truly our Father and we are his children. We therefore are to pray to him with complete confidence, just as children speak to their loving Father. Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name certainly is holy in itself, but we ask in this prayer that it may be holy among us also. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? God's kingdom comes indeed without our praying for it, but we ask in this prayer that it may come also to us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is surely done without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that it may be done also among us. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God gives daily bread, even without our prayer, to all people, though sinful. But we ask in this prayer that he will help us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything needed for this life, such as food and clothing, home and property, work and income, a devoted family, an orderly community, good government, favorable weather, peace and health, a good name, and true friends and neighbors. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We ask in this prayer that our Father in heaven would not hold our sins against us, and because of them, refuse to hear our prayer. And we pray that he would give us everything by grace, for we sin every day and deserve nothing but punishment. So we, on our part, will heartily forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one to sin, but we ask in this prayer that God would watch over us and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our sinful self may not deceive us and draw us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins. And we pray that even though we are so tempted, we may still win the final victory. And finally, deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We ask in this inclusive prayer, said Luther, that our Heavenly Father would save us from every evil to body and soul, and at our last hour would mercifully take us from the troubles of this world to himself in heaven. Luther went on to explain the last word of the Lord's Prayer, Amen. What does Amen mean, he asked. Amen means, yes, it shall be so. We say Amen because we are certain that such petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. God has given us his law so that we might see ourselves as we are, and has given us his gospel so that we might see him as he is. He tells us to pray to him, taking him to be our Father just as he has taken us to be his children in the life-giving atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. He forgives us, and he loves to give us life. He enjoys hearing us pray to him. Let us pray to him in repentance for our sins and with faith that he forgives for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again as the Lord of heaven and earth. Pray with me now, if you will, because you want to pray, even if you've not prayed for a long time. Pray with me now, as our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.